Friends, grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my biggest pet peeves is that our culture in which we live fundamentally misunderstands what we mean by the word blessed. Often when we talk of blessings in this culture in which we live, we're speaking of things we can touch and count and name. The stuff, like our bank accounts, our pensions, our homes, our friends, our family, our accomplishments. When we speak of these things as blessings, we throw God into the mix of an economy that is not of God. And all kinds of dangerous things result. You see, if I speak of blessings, that is the stuff that flows from God, when I think of my house and its furnace and the city and country in which I live, if God is responsible for these things, then where is God for those whose homes have inadequate heat to stave off this bitter Wisconsin winter? Those who sleep under bridges, or who were born in other communities where they duck and cover for fear of being shot, or born into failed states with corrupt governments? What does it mean to say that where I live is a blessing when others live in such different places? If I speak of my family, my beautiful children, my spectacular spouse, my circle of wonderful friends, as blessings, as gifts of God for which I should be thankful, then where is God for those who are lonely, those whose marriages are dead or dying, or those who desperately want children but cannot have them? And if I speak of being blessed by serving this amazing congregation for these 5+ years, this group of phenomenal people in this great location, this beautiful building that, as long as you don't look too closely, is standing up just fine. We'll get it fixed, I promise. If I speak of this time as a blessing, what does that mean then for my colleagues, too numerous to count, who, by virtue of their gender, their race, their sexual orientation or gender identity, are pastors who know that a good half, at least, of their congregation cannot hear a word of grace from them for reason of immutable characteristics, or colleagues who serve congregations that struggle mightily to make ends meet, who cannot afford to pay any of their bills, let alone pay their pastors and staff adequately, or colleagues of mine who are not as privileged as I because they serve in congregations full of toxic folk who eat their pastors alive. Am I blessed? You betcha. But not blessed by the house I live in, the family and friends that surround me, or even by the gift of this place. These are wages, assets, privileges. thanks be to God, Jesus cuts through this mess. And in the very first words of his very first and longest sermon in the Gospel of Matthew, much longer than this one will be, I promise, and you're welcome, Jesus turns the notion of blessings completely upside down. Because Jesus, too, lived in a culture in which blessings were visible things you could count. That if a person's body worked well, or they were born into status and honor, or they had great wealth and estate, everybody knew they were blessed. That they'd done something good to have God's favor. But, boy, if your body didn't work, if your family was not honorable, if your status was of low estate, well, God must have cursed you for something. Because that's how it works, right? You do good, you get good. You or your parents, at least, do bad, you get bad. But to all of this, Jesus says, hell no. That's not how any of this works. Because that's not what blessings are at all. And it begins with that word, blessed. This word that comes across into English as blessed or blessed is a Greek word that shares its root with another word that, by God, I hope by now you know well. If not, I have failed miserably. It is, for Lutherans, our favorite word. And that word is always and forever grace. Makarios means literally to be worthy of divine grace, a recipient of God's favor, one whom God showers with grace. That is, it has nothing to do with what you have done or left undone, what station you were born into, or any other characteristic of your life. Grace is God's unexpected, undeserved, and unconditional gift of belovedness. Grace is God doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. Grace. Grace is God showing up in the midst of our lives to bring God's presence and promise, irrespective of where we have been or where we find ourselves. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are meek. To all of Jesus' neighbors, these things would be insane to hear. No poor, wretched, struggling, suffering person could ever be called blessed, and yet these are the very ones whom Jesus calls worthy of God's divine favor, receivers of God's abundant grace. Now, I know there are some lines in these so-called Beatitudes that may lead us to believe that this economy of you get what you earn applies in any way to God's gift of mercy and love. After all, Jesus does say, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart, whatever that means. If we're not careful, that may sound as though if you work for peace, you will be blessed. If you strive for justice, as your baptismal vows require you to do, you will be blessed. If your heart is pure, you will be blessed. But I don't think that's what Jesus is saying at all. After all, I think Jesus knows in his hands and his feet, his temple and his side, in his very flesh and blood. Jesus knows that those who long to see peace and justice reign in this world will suffer mightily as their hearts look out over a world in love with violence and war and greed. That those who long for good and right relationships will grieve mightily as they look out over a world full of so much brokenness. And yet it is to them and to the hungry and the poor and the mourning and the meek, those who grieve, those who lose, those who struggle, those who suffer, it is to them that God says, Makarios, grace is yours. My beloved, you are mine. God joins those who struggle and suffer in the dust and dirt of their lives, sits with them in their struggle and in their challenge, and reminds them that God is abundantly, graciously, lovingly here for you forever. Now that is good news. And is it enough? I mean, is it enough to know that in your struggle, in your suffering, in your brokenness, in your fear, in your emptiness or loss, that God is with you? I mean, that's great that God knows how much your life sucks and promises to be there with you in the midst of it. But wouldn't it be nice to know that someday this won't be my story? That God is doing something to bring me out of this too? And yes, indeed. For you may have noticed that each of these Beatitudes begins in the present. That as you are in your struggle, in your mourning, in your grief, in your loss, you are blessed. You are a receiver of God's divine and abundant grace today. Not because of what you have done or left undone or who you are or who you aren't, but simply because God said so. God is here. But then each one moves to the future. You are blessed. And they will see God. And they will be comforted. And they will be filled. And they will receive and inherit the kingdom of God and the earth itself. Which is to say that God's grace means forever and always that your future, which is a gift and a promise of God, is utterly independent from your broken past or present. Who God is making you become does not depend on what you have done or left undone. That the story in which you find yourself doesn't end here. But God is crafting a new story for you. One that is grounded forever in God's gift of grace and love. One that is rooted in God's promise of belovedness, holiness, worthiness as gift. God's promised future is yours by God's blessing today, irrespective of your broken past. And so, rejoice, for God is with you wherever you find yourself. And God is calling you forth into God's promised future, dragging you into God's redeemed new creation by the sheer force of God's undying love. When we began planning for this day, Mary asked what song I wanted the kids to sing. Without hesitation, I said, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." It's my favorite hymn. It is my children's favorite hymn. I sang it to my daughter last night as she fell asleep. And so, my dear friends, I leave you with this. Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. For streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. For to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. May that grace now, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Friends, God pours out grace upon grace on you, in your lives and in this place, through the water that flows and the meal we are about to receive. God claims you in your broken story as beloved and promises to bring you forth into God's promised future, where, as we say all the time, God's light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness will never, ever overcome it. And thanks be to God for that. Amen. Amen.